Praise the Lord. Good to see everybody tonight, and looking forward to the Bible study. Brother David's going to come in just a moment and challenge us with the Word of God. Then we'll give some names for the nominating committee. We'll take care of that, and then we'll have a sweet time of prayer together. I'll give a few announcements, and we'll go home. But let's ask the Lord to help us tonight and encourage us. Father, we do thank You for this midweek service. Thank You for the blood of Jesus Christ that cleanseth us from all sin. Not just some of them, not just most of them, but praise God, all sin. And we thank You, Lord, that we have liberty tonight to worship You. Not just liberty in our land as far as the law is concerned, but Lord, I'm thankful we got liberty in the Holy Spirit tonight to worship You in spirit and in truth. And I pray You'd take the message that Brother David has and speak to our hearts. And then, Lord, I pray that You would bless during the nominating time of giving names for that. And then especially, Lord, during our prayer time, would You give us a blessed time, Lord, of coming to You tonight together. Lord, we got many things to pray about, many needs, Lord. And we just want to praise You as well. And I just ask Your blessings on every part of this midweek service. And we'll make sure we give You the glory. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Well, I'm thankful for Brother David, and I've asked him to come and challenge us tonight. It's a blessing to have men in the church that can give the Word of God from time to time, and appreciate what the Lord's doing in David and Amanda's life. And it wouldn't be surprised me within the next couple of years if God were to call them to the mission field or a ministry. And I'm thankful that they could be here in the meantime preparing and praying for what God has for them next. And the blessing they are to me personally. So you come up and challenge us, brother, and appreciate you doing that.
You know, Pastor, I don't remember that air conditioning in Africa.
I didn't hear. You were in the wrong house, brother.
That might have been true.
I don't remember
Fair enough. Romans chapter 2.
Amen.
Tonight. Romans chapter 2. You know, talking about air conditioning, there are some times in our Christian lives where we really wish that we could have some kind of spiritual air conditioning step in, where we just get uncomfortable, whether it's because of sin in our lives or it's the attacks of Satan or it's just different things where we feel like really our weakness is being exposed or it's continually taking advantage of us. And we'd like something to come along and really deal with that, that would do something like air conditioning does when it cools us off. Tonight, I want to focus on something just very briefly that is introduced to us here in Romans chapter 2 that I hope is going to be a help and encouragement and just give us all a little bit of spiritual air conditioning here in the middle of what for most of us probably is. There's a lot of Satan's attack. There's a lot of temptation. But there is a solution that God has given us for that. I'm going to read a few verses here that don't directly apply to us here and explain a little bit of the context, and then we're going to dive right in. So Romans chapter 2, I'm going to read verses 3 and 4. And thinkest thou this, O man, that judgest them which do such things and doest the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God? Or despisest thou the riches of His goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance? Now, Paul here, if you look at just at the beginning of this chapter, you'll realize he is speaking primarily to the Jews who are professing themselves to be very religious, self-righteous in many ways, and they are very judgmental towards the Gentiles because the Gentiles are more openly sinful than they are. But Paul turns this around on them and he says, you are just as wicked as they are. In fact, in many ways, in your own hearts, you do exactly the same things, and yet you judge them. You look down on them for where they're at, and you're not recognizing that God, in His goodness, the goodness of God has been trying to draw you to the same repentance that these Gentiles are experiencing. And I've been thinking about that phrase, the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance, and I was wondering here, while we're not in the same position as those Jews, sometimes we can forget that it's the goodness of God that leads us to repentance. It's not God's impending wrath, His judgment. It's not even His holiness. It's His goodness that leads us to repentance. And a lot of times when we sin or we are beset with a sin, we don't look at it that way. We don't look at the way God looks at it. We look at it from a human perspective. And there is basically a very consistent human response to besetting sins. When others look at us in the middle of our sins, they have a tendency to look down on us, to judge us. They say things like, "Well, that person, they're just a rebel at heart," or they really like doing those things, don't they? They really like being in the world. They really like sinning, and that's a very typical human response. When others look at us when we're bound in sins, and they assume that that's the place that we want to be, first of all, but then they also assume that that's just who we are as well. And then we ourselves, we have some responses that are pretty typical when we're bound up in sin as well. We have internal condemnation. We start self-loathing. We get discouraged. We feel like this sin that has become a significant part of my life defines who I am, and it's something I can't escape from. And we're forgetting that the goodness of God is what leads us to repentance. The word goodness there, it could also be translated kindness. It's really just the idea of he's doing something that really is not necessarily deserved. He's just stepping out and doing something good. We've also got a couple other words in there. You look there at the beginning. He tells them they're despising the riches of his goodness and forbearance and long-suffering. The word long-suffering, we're all familiar with that one, basically means patience. But forbearance is the idea that he's carrying the weight around for us. He's not just watching us in the middle of our struggles or the middle of our difficulties, but he's actually right there with us. And he's not participating in our sin, but he sees what's happening, and it's not something that where he's sitting there condemning us for what is going on. Instead, he's saying, I really want to help you with this. I really want to bear that burden. I really want to take that away. And so God constantly, in the middle of our own struggles, is just there giving out his goodness and saying, I want you to really know how good I am. I want you to experience it. Now, repentance. There's a lot of different teaching about what repentance is. A lot of people say, well, repentance is when you turn around and you stop doing what you were doing and you start doing something different. You turn over a new leaf and you start doing good things instead of bad things. But that's taking the definition of repentance far too far. The word for repentance literally means just a mind change. It means somebody's mind has changed from what it was thinking to thinking something different. And I would like to give just a simple definition. Repentance is when I have a change of mind that results in a change of dependence. Okay? So when I'm in the middle of a sin or some sort of situation that is just binding me and keeping me under control and I can't seem to get out of it, the problem is my dependence. I'm in my thinking. I'm thinking that sin has the power to bind me, that sin does have this power over me in some way, and I am trusting in one of two things. I'm either trusting in some outside force, maybe it's peer pressure, maybe it's parents, maybe it's church, to try to help me get out of it, or I'm trusting in myself. And there's a dependence. The dependence is a dependence that is not able to deliver. So when we repent, our mind changes and we realize, first of all, that we as believers are dead to sin. And so it has no power over us any longer, no true dominion over us any longer. Another thing that happens is we realize, hey, I don't have the power to deliver myself. None of these other things have the power to deliver me, but God, Jesus Christ Himself, does have the power to deliver. And if my dependence moves off of myself, off of these other things, just like in salvation, it's exactly the same process. Our dependence moves to Jesus Christ alone. At that moment, repentance has done its job and we've been brought into contact with the goodness of God. Here's another way to think about it. I think repentance is when I think of my sin as the enemy that it is, truly defeated by the cross of Christ. I reject its lie of dominion over me and embrace the new life of the resurrection that is the real me, as I cast my dependence on God for complete victory. So we could say that when I'm bound by some kind of sin, some kind of habit, some situation that is too strong for me as an individual, I have the opportunity to realize, hey, God is good. God wants my deliverance and God is able to deliver me. And so my deliverance comes through that repentance, that change of mind, that change of dependence where I turn to the Lord and I say, Lord, You've got to give the victory. You are the only way. You are the victory. And I start thinking right about my relationship to Him and my relationship to sin. Paul, throughout the New Testament, calls believers saints. And the word saint means a holy person, a separated one, somebody who is holy. Well, as believers, we're all saints. We're not sinners. People like to say, well, I'm just a sinner saved by grace. Well, no, you were. You were a sinner saved by grace, but the moment that you believed in Jesus Christ, you became a saint, someone who is holy in Jesus Christ. And that's your true identity, no matter what your current state of living is. And that identity, combined with dependence on Christ, is really what repentance is all about. Recognizing, I am not this person who is bound in sin. I am someone who has been delivered from sin. I'm somebody who's holy in Jesus Christ, and as I depend on Him, sin has no more dominion over me. Repentance comes when I stop looking at the resources that I have for defeating sin, and I instead focus on the unlimited resources that God provides because He is good. And we know that this kind of repentance is going to bring us freedom, because we have a good God who is a God of freedom. But there are some specific ways that this repentance gives us freedom. And I'd like us to turn just quickly here to 2 Corinthians chapter 7. 2 Corinthians chapter 7. You know, by the time Paul wrote 2 Corinthians chapter 7, they were just recovering from a rather hard rebuke that he had given them in 1 Corinthians. He had raked them over the coals in a lot of ways for a lot of different sins. There was division in the church. They had somebody that they weren't dealing with who was living in gross immorality and a lot of other issues. And they really, truly felt sorry for those things. They truly repented of those things. And here in 2 Corinthians chapter 7, Paul describes the results of that repentance for them. Look at verse 9. He says, "Now I rejoice, not that you were made sorry." So the point, again, the point of preaching on sin and deliverance from sin is not to make people feel bad. That's not the point. The point here is, but that you sorrowed to repentance. So the point is, let's get all the way to the place where we're free, where our mind, our thinking has been fixed, where we're depending on God and there's freedom. That's the whole point. "For you were made sorry after a..." Get this, "a godly sort, godly manner, that you might receive damage by us in nothing." So Paul says, my purpose was not to hurt you in any way. In fact, if I could have, I would have avoided making you sorry. But my purpose was to bring you to the place where you're thinking right and you're depending right. Verse 10, "For godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of. But the sorrow of the world worketh death." Just real quick, I want to point out the three things that this kind of repentance frees us from. First of all, it frees us from self-focused sorrow. You saw that phrase, that it was after a godly manner. This sorrow was after a godly manner. It drew them into repentance. It drew them to freedom. It drew them out of their self-loathing, out of their discouragement, out of their guilt. So repentance, brought about by the goodness of God, a right kind of repentance, brings a freedom from all that introspection, all that self-focus, all of the discouragement that goes along with that. Second of all, it brings us freedom from remorse over the past. It removes the cloud from things that have been in the past. He has the phrase there. He says it brings this repentance. It works. Godly sorrow works repentance that does not... is not going to be repented of. You're not going to regret making this kind of repentance. There's not going to be any baggage associated with this kind of repentance. It's a release. It's just let God releasing you from what is in the past and making it something that really it's done. It's in the past. It's gone. Godly sorrow, godly repentance, true repentance. And we could say this way, God-dependent repentance is going to do that. It's going to release us so that the things that are in the past don't continue to hang over us. The third thing that it frees us from, you can see there at the end of the verse, the sorrow of the world does what? It works death. What causes the sorrow of the world? Sin. Because we learn in Romans, what is it that brings about death? It's sin. So sin itself is the cause of this sorrow and of this death. So God-dependent repentance brings us to the place of deliverance from death. Now you say, well, what does that really mean? We could look at this a lot of different ways. It could be emotional death. There's a lot of people today who really struggle to be honest with their emotions because if they are, it's very painful. So they have a sort of death to their emotions where they've tried to block out the bad memories. They've tried to block out the guilt. They've tried to block these things out and pretend they never existed, but they haven't gone through the process of God-dependent repentance. And so what they've done is they've kind of shut down themselves and they've experienced an emotional death. It's a very common thing. Another way, of course, is spiritual death. The relationship with God being stifled, being choked out to the point where there is not really a spiritual life and a relationship with the Lord, an understanding and an experience of His goodness on a daily basis. The spiritual death. True repentance, God-dependent repentance, delivers us from that to life in that relationship. And then, of course, we have to consider the fact that a lot of people would be alive right now today if they had learned God-dependent repentance. Instead of turning to the routes of suicide and other things that have caused literal physical death, guilt is one of the leading things associated with suicide these days. People get discouraged. They get tied up and bound in their sins in discouraging situations. They don't know where to turn. They don't think about the fact that God in His goodness is reaching out and saying, I want to set you free. I want to pull you out of that. I want to deliver you from that. And it leads to death. God-dependent repentance brings freedom. Freedom from the past, freedom from self-loathing and introspection, freedom from death. Because the goodness of God leads us to repentance. And again, this repentance is a very simple thing. It's when I begin thinking rightly. Sin is an enemy that is lying when it says it has dominion over me. It was defeated by Christ on the cross. And I can depend on the new resurrection life of Jesus to experience His total victory. A change of mind, a change of dependence. And through that, God leading us to repentance leads us into a new experience of life and freedom. Let's pray. Dear Father, we thank You so much for the goodness and mercy that You show to us, Lord, and how You are there ready day by day, Lord, to deliver us. Lord, when we're bound, when we're stuck, Lord, You don't come and declare Your judgments against us. You don't stand up and list Your accusations. Instead, You forbear. You show Your goodness. You extend mercy. Lord, I pray that You would help each one of us, Lord, whatever situations we're in, Lord, not to forget that, not to get stuck, not to get so introspective, Lord, that we forget to look upward and see that Your goodness is waiting there to deliver us from the power of sin, to deliver us from the cloud of guilt, to deliver us even from death, Lord, to give us full and complete new life in Jesus Christ, Lord. Thank You so much for that provision. Would You help us to live and walk in that reality each day? In Jesus' name, amen.
Just reminded me, you know, as in that truth, just we witnessed that just Sunday night when these young people stood up here behind this pulpit. And you know what had happened? God had dealt with them about specific things, and there was a repentance. There was a change of mind. And you know what led them to that? It was the goodness of God. Them realizing that God loves them. God wants to help them. God wants to change them. And they said yes to that. And I hope we will say yes to that. It was just an encouraging message. Thank you, Brother David. I was encouraged just about the fact that, you know, when we beat ourselves up over besetting sins, little things that we just seem to hang on. And the Lord's like, stop beating yourself up over that. Stop it, is what He's saying. Give it to me. Just have a change of mind. He said, don't carry it around and mope around that you can't get past this or get over this. What you need to do is just change your mind about it, and I'll take it and forgive it and give you the power to move forward.